Here. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. We're going to look at 4. Talk about faith in Christ Jesus tonight. And you'll see the trio of faith, love, and hope shows up a few times in the Bible. Colossians 1, we'll start in verse 3, but we'll really focus on verse 4. The Bible says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth," the word of the truth of the gospel. So you got faith, love, hope. And that shows up 1 Corinthians, it shows up in 1 Thessalonians, where you've got putting on breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You've got 1 Corinthians, where Paul says faith, hope, and charity. So they show up together multiple times in the Bible. Just going to focus on the faith part of this tonight. And I want to show you the activity of faith, because this is what, since Paul had never met the Colossians, the only thing he knew about them was what he heard about their faith, and their faith was evidently something that could be heard about, and so he heard about it, and he was grateful to hear about it. And so there is some activity to faith here that Paul is very grateful for. And we'll talk about that, but let's pray, and we'll talk about faith in Christ Jesus. All right, so the words or the phrase we'll focus on tonight, verse 4, "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus," and there's a few things about faith, particularly the Colossians' faith, that Paul is grateful for, but I want to show you faith in general. The Bible defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when Paul defines faith that way in Hebrews 11, what follows is a list of people who, by faith, did some things in various different things, in all walks of life there, but did various different things. And he says, by their faith, they obtained a good report from God. I guess one of the things to look at, though, let's look at the verse. I know it's a familiar verse, but Hebrews chapter 11, and think about it in context of, I mean, I think this is the meaning of this. Hebrews chapter 11, the Colossians' faith was tangible, but I think faith is tangible anyway. It's a tangible thing. It's not an obscure thing. It's something that has substance to it and something that has evidence to it. And so he says in verse Hebrews 11, 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I know you're familiar with that verse, but think of it this way. If you have the flu, you have something in your body that you can't see, but you can see the evidence of that thing in your body. You might have fever, you might get sweaty, you might coughing, but you can't see the bug or the virus or whatever it is, can't see that thing in the body, but you can clearly see something's going on in the body. All right, so there's evidence of something that's not seen. Substance, so here's another one. He says, the substance of things hoped for. The people who have faith in Hebrews chapter 11, they have the substance of, they're hoping for something. Let me put it this way. They're hoping, they're looking forward to something. And by virtue of them looking forward to it, there is some substance and some substantial things in their life that evidence the fact that they're looking forward to this. He'll go through, he talks about Enoch, he talks about Noah, he talks about Abraham, he talks about Sarah, he talks about several folks here. And the idea is their faith is a tangible, substantive, evidential thing in their life for something that you can't see. I mean, there is nothing in this life. Let me put it one way here. There is nothing in this life that I can point to and say, you ought to be a Christian because it's going to make you rich. Or you ought to be a Christian because you're going to get a bigger house for it. Or you ought to be a Christian because you'll get good cars out of it. Or you ought to be a Christian because your bank account's going to grow. There's nothing in this life to point to say, here's a great reason to be a Christian because it gives you this thing here. That makes sense. I mean, there's no riches. There's nothing to point to in this life. There's things that you're looking forward to, but I couldn't point to something in this world, and that's why the Bible says the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that are lost, because they can't see any reason to trust Jesus Christ, even though it would be a perfectly reasonable thing. They know they're sinners. They know that they know Jesus Christ died on a cross and was resurrected. I mean, most folks have some inkling of that. And so, but to point to something in this life, when Jesus Christ talked to the disciples and the followers that he was talking to, he didn't say, if you follow me in this life, there's going to be some great things. He said, if you follow me, you're going to lose a lot of stuff, and it's going to be pretty sacrificial, and you're going to have to carry your cross and all those kinds of things. So that was the description of following him. What I'm saying is there is the substance of things hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's not the substance of the hope. It's the substance in the person's life of the hope. Just like, again, if you're sick, you have something that can't be seen inside of you, but it is clear there's something inside of you that's wrong. And I use a negative illustration, but it is evidence of something that's not seen. Faith is evidence of something that's not seen. It is not evidence out there. It's evidence in you. It's evidence in the person with the faith. It's substance in the person with the faith. So that's why after Hebrews 11, he defines faith as substance and evidence. He then goes on to explain and to show illustrations of people who had substance and evidence in their lives of something they couldn't see, something they couldn't wrap their hands around, or a promise that they were looking for. So you've got, he says Enoch, he says Noah by faith built the ark. All right, well, Noah builds the ark. Noah's faith was the fact that he built the ark. That was his faith. Not that he heard God tell him to build the ark, but that he built the ark. That was his faith. The Bible says this, it says, and the reason that I'm pointing this out is because when Paul says he's grateful for the faith that he's heard of them in Jesus Christ, what he's talking about is something that is substantial in the Colossians' life that apparently made a sound to other people. It apparently was something that was that would resound and would go out so that people would hear what's going on. And so it's not that they just believed or they heard the words of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is not hearing the word of God. That's how you get it, but that's not what it is. Lots of people hear the word of God, but it doesn't mean they have any kind of faith or it does anything to them. Some people get mad about it. Some people ignore it. Some people go on and live their lives after hearing it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But faith is not hearing the word of God. It's actually substance and evidence that the word of God has done something in you. So when Paul says, I'm grateful for your faith, he's not saying, I'm grateful that you heard the Bible preached, or I'm not grateful that you sit in a Bible-believing church. I'm grateful for your actual faith, that it actually makes a sound. It actually has some substance to it. So here's the it's observable, it's knowable. Like I said, faith isn't hearing the words. Hearing is just, it's the basis for faith, but it's not faith itself. So there is, in the Colossians' life, like we said, there is faith that Paul is grateful for. Their faith was substantive, and that's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. Let me just ask you this. In that verse, who's the one doing the hoping? The person who has the faith. They're the one hoping, and there's substance out of that hope. Like, they are doing something out of that hope, just like Noah. Noah builds an ark. Abraham moves his family. It wasn't that Abraham heard God say, move. It was that Abraham faithfully moved. It was that Noah, by faith, built an ark. All the other examples here. Rahab, by faith, she hid the spies. Not that she heard that the Israelites were coming or heard the word of God, but faith was the substance of what she was hoping for. Noah, the substance of what he was hoping for was seen in the fact that he built the ark. So what I'm just trying to say, faith is, it's tangible, it is substantive, it is evidential, and all of Hebrews 11 explains and illustrates that over and over again. And so when Paul says to the Colossians, I'm grateful for your faith and thankful for your faith in Christ Jesus, he's apparently talking about something he can locate, and he can say, wow, this actually is something going on with you. There is a change that's noticeable here. And so it is probably one of the most, I don't know how many times I've heard this said about Christians sometimes, but they'll say someone who's lost will use a person who is claiming Jesus Christ, but it really doesn't mean anything to them, to say, why would I get involved with that church? Why would I get involved with that faith? Because it doesn't mean anything to them. It obviously doesn't do anything there. Why would I get involved in it? If what I'm saying is that the testimony, sometimes the testimony of people who claim Jesus Christ and don't have faith is worse than someone who's just lost and doesn't know Jesus Christ at all. Why? Because like Paul said one time in the Romans, he said to the Jews, or about the Jews, he said, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed. And what he meant was, you carry the name of God around, and you act like you have God. But then you do everything that we do. You do everything the world does. And so the testimony was that because of the activities of these people who claimed God, the Gentiles would look at that and just say, what is your God to me? Doesn't mean anything to you. Why should I believe your God? So I think you get the point, but the idea is faith is a tangible, substantive thing. It's not a... I think sometimes we get this idea, it's a passive, just sort of, I hear it, I kind of accept it, and that's my faith. Well, that's a Catholic's faith. That's of whoever's faith. Faith in the Bible is substance and evidence, not of the thing being hoped for, but evidence of the hope, substance of the hope. So when Paul says, I'm thankful to God about the Colossians' faith, he said, I'm grateful to God for this, meaning your faith is something that is tangible enough that it makes a sound, and I've heard about it, other people are talking about it, it actually has value in your life, and so now I'm grateful to hear about it. What your faith and the words of God have now done to your life. Second thing about this faith in Christ, I'll show you a verse over here in Acts. Look over in Acts chapter 24. Kind of along these lines, but Acts chapter 24, verse 24. Acts 24, 24, this phrase, faith in Christ, shows up again. Paul is come before Felix here. And he says in verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I point that out because after the Bible describes faith in Christ, it tells you what Paul was talking about. It says, when Paul talked to Felix, he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Before that, it says Paul talked to him concerning faith in Christ. So then he defines it. As he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way. So here's the idea about faith in Christ Jesus here. When Paul talks to Felix about faith in Christ, Felix understands that means his life is not right with God. That's why he trembles. He understands that righteousness, or when Paul's explaining righteousness and temperance and judgment, all these things are a part of faith in Christ Jesus. Felix understands enough to know that if he is going to have faith in Christ Jesus, that's going to mean a condemnation of his current lifestyle. That's why he's trembling. That's why when he hears this righteousness and judgment and temperance, it's not, okay, yeah, that sounds good, sign me up for that. No, he's fearful of it. Because he knows it's a condemnation of his current lifestyle, so it's all these things describing faith in Christ Jesus, it is the activity, put it this way, the activity of faith in the Bible, righteousness, temperance, judgment, all those things. It is Bible knowledge without righteousness. Bible knowledge without righteousness is only good to puff you up. You can hear the Bible preached, you can know how to chop it up, and you can know how to, you know, we know all the dispensational stuff and we know all this stuff. Bible knowledge without righteousness is just good enough to give you and me a big head. That's all it does. Faith actually has righteousness to it. Faith actually has temperance to it. Faith actually has judgment to it. And so when Paul preaches to Felix faith in Christ Jesus, and then the Bible explains what he's talking about, he's defining what that faith in Christ Jesus is. Bible knowledge, knowing Bible, knowing about the Bible, hearing the Bible, those things, that that's a start. That's good. That's a start. But that's not faith. And if that's all you get, you have just enough to make yourself, myself, we have just enough to make ourselves so egotistical, so proud. We're not like them. We're not like them. We do it differently because we do it right. You don't do it right if there's no righteousness. You don't do it right if there's no judgment. You don't do it right if there's no temperance. You don't do it, that's not doing it right by hearing the Bible. So when Paul preaches to Felix, Felix understands. He understands what this means. He understands what faith in Christ Jesus means. No, he doesn't want to receive that. He doesn't want to accept that. And so he trembles, but he's not ready to accept it yet. And here's another, go back over to Colossians to show you another thought on this thing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Colossians 2, 5. About faith in Christ. It says, Paul says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That's kind of interesting that he would be beholding their faith. That means that their faith was an activity. It wasn't that they were just hearing. There was something to it. There was order to it. He says steadfastness to it. Verse 6, he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So he talks about walking, not just being taught. There's a walk involved. Rooted, built up, established in the faith, as ye have been taught. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. These are all descriptions of a substantive, of faith as it is pleasing to God, I guess you could say. He says it in Hebrews. Faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said over there in Hebrews 11, we didn't read it, but he said, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. They obtained a good report because of the substance and the evidence that was associated with their hope. That's how they obtained the good report. And then this last thing about faith in Christ Jesus. It was faith that produced gratitude in Paul. Like we read in verse 3, said, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Maybe it's time to consider what a walk by faith looks like to other people. What I mean by that is kind of what we're talking about before, but it's encouraging for someone to get victory over sin. It's encouraging to see that, unless you're just like, you don't care. It's encouraging to see someone get victory over sin. You know what that is? That's faith that overcomes the world. It's encouraging to see someone who you've prayed for trust Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. You know what that is? That's faith. That is faith that affects other people. And maybe it's time for us to kind of break out of our bubble and what can I get out of this, but start thinking about how is my receiving of God's words affecting other people? How is my, whenever I hear the Bible, whenever I'm instructed by God, whenever I'm instructed by the Holy Spirit of God, how does that look to my kids? How does that look to other people in church? How does that look to other folks I'm around in the community here? It is faith that produced gratitude in Paul, meaning the Colossians' faith had an effect on Paul, and it was a good effect. Paul was grateful for it. He's grateful for it. Just like faith produces gratitude when you see someone get saved, when you see somebody overcome sin, when you see someone boldly preaching Jesus Christ, unless you're just envious of them, or unless you're too scared to do it. I mean, it's encouraging to see someone with a bold testimony. It's encouraging to actually see faith. That's what I'm getting at. It's encouraging to actually see faith in someone else. And so you think about it in your own life. If it's that encouraging, maybe I ought to consider having a little bit more of it for the sake of some other people who are watching. And maybe if I have a little bit more of it, maybe some more people will have a little bit more of it. And maybe if I have a little bit more faith, if I trust God a little bit more, maybe that will encourage some more folks to have faith. What I'm saying is it affected Paul. The Colossians' faith affected Paul in a good way. Their faith was made him grateful to hear about it. And maybe it's time for us to start thinking about how our faith affects other people. And just, you know, I know we can be real kind of closed in and we got our groups and all that kind of stuff and think about that, but if you think about maybe if you have a little bit more faith, it might affect some more people in a good way. It might encourage some people. How encouraged are you to see people saved? How encouraged are you to see people get victory over sin? How encouraged are you to see somebody who is bold for Jesus Christ? It's encouraging to actually see faith out in the world. It's encouraging to actually see faith in someone's life and how it works. It's encouraging to see faith. If for those who are saved, it's encouraging. I think it's encouraging. It should be encouraging. And so here's just a illustration of that. You think about what your faith can do for somebody else. Maybe not what your faith can do for you, but what it can do for someone else. Maybe like your kids. Maybe like family, maybe like friends, maybe like co-workers. What can your faith do for somebody else? You got several illustrations in the Bible of that, but a couple. You remember the fellow that gets lowered down through the roof? Everybody, you guys remember that? I know you remember the story. The four of them, they pull the roof apart and they lower the fellow right on top of where Jesus is. That was someone else's faith helping somebody else. You remember, Jairus, his daughter, the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter. There are several illustrations and examples of people's faith affecting others in a good way. Just like the Colossians' faith affected Paul in a good way, he heard about it. He was grateful for it. It was an encouragement. Just like you think about the negative side of that, it's a discouragement to find out people aren't faithful. It's a discouragement to find out people aren't faithful to the words of God. It's a discouragement to find out in your own life when you're not faithful. Just think about what your faith can do for other people. Think about faith as it's a tangible thing in the Bible. It is evidence, it is substance, and you have all those examples in Hebrews 11 after that, not because someone heard the Bible or heard the Word of God, but their faith was what produced what happened in their life, those life-changing events. So faith in Jesus Christ, those are some things about faith in Christ Jesus, and I hope we can